Hello and welcome to this week's edition of Three Men and a Pigskin, starring your co-hosts, Andy Layton, Scott Goldsberry, and Jimmy Jordan.
Hello everyone, welcome to the newest episode of Three Men and a Pigskin. I'm your co-host, Andy Layton, along with
Scott Goldsberry,
Jimmy Jordan.
We just want to first of all start out and apologize for not having an episode last week. We had some sickness issues and Scott had a test and we just had early days in the week come quick after Friday night and we didn't have time right away to record, and by the time Wednesday rolls around I just don't think we really saw the point of recording. So we just kind of moved on and I meant to put a message out and I forgot to even do that.
No pick'em for week two.
Yep.
So, I think I'm winning, though, aren't I?
I think so, because you picked... I went with Ritchie County the first week.
Yeah.
That was a bad pick. I think I shut out.
I'm winning.
That's what happens when you go straight chalk. just saying.
That's funny.
Hold on, I need to...
Where are we going next?
Okay. So, once again, we apologize for that, and we should be back on track from now on. Of course, I said that last week. It's like that in podcast world. So,
yeah. I've noticed.
Yeah. My own show, it's 3 months behind. Co-host, if you're listening. Where to find us? Once again, on Facebook, Twitter. Haven't been retweeting too much stuff lately. I need to get back on that. Facebook, Twitter, email us still exists. 3menandapigskin@gmail.com. If you need us, I haven't even checked it. The last time when I forgot the password.
We did get a message on Facebook.
Yeah, we did get a message.
From a young lady from Clay Bucktel, I think.
I'll read that off in a second. But other than that, that's where to find us. So that's all of our information. We'll repeat it at the end if you need it. Once it all in Facebook, it's 3 Men of Pigskin spelled out. Twitter, it's the number 3 Men of Pigskin.
Yeah, it was from Beth Steele. She said, I just wanted to send you some info about Clay Bucktel. I know you guys said in your first podcast that you don't know a lot about single-A football in West Virginia. I also want to make myself available to answer any questions, get you into our games, or whatever you need with your podcast. Thanks for covering single-A football on your podcast. Number 14 is a new junior quarterback, junior Jarrett Huckenberry. 34 is Jacob Steele, senior running back. Defensive end and kicker, number 21, first-year senior, Cannon Brummage. Number 84, and then senior receiver and linebacker, Tanner Bragg. We do appreciate you writing to us, Beth. Thank you for the information, and we'll make sure that we log that in the back of our heads.
Yep, if anybody else has any information, just go to the page and message us, or you can email us, do whatever you want to do. If you follow us on Twitter, we usually follow you back too. So if you want some of the direct message on there, you can go that way too. So since we kind of missed opening week, we'll just kind of skip to the second week, of course. A couple games we just want to talk about from last week that I think were the bigger games in the state. I think the biggest game in the state in terms of the result and the craziness that ensued is definitely Huntington and Spring Valley. Scott, I know you... You listen to it?
Yeah, actually, I was on the West Virginia tailgate towards the end of our game after I kind of knew it was under control and was just kind of looking around and seeing what was going on and seeing a link for it, and there was a score there and it said it was close, so I decided to listen to it and got to listen to the overtime. And it was the most fun I've ever had listening to about two teams that I really didn't know much about, and I ended up on some website that I wasn't really sure how I even got there to this link, but it was definitely a fun game, and I got to listen to the end of it. But I wish I could have been there. It would have been insane to kind of watch that double overtime ending.
Yeah, I know the first overtime was who had the kick blocked. Was it Huntington had the kick blocked?
Maybe I didn't start at the beginning of the first overtime then, because I don't remember hearing that.
Yeah, somebody had a. Somebody scored in the first overtime. I can't remember which
one. I picked it up, and Huntington was ahead.
And then a kick was blocked, or they missed it. And then whoever scored next, then it was blocked. If I remember, they missed it.
They missed it.
And then the first one, whoever scored first, got it blocked. And then it goes to the second overtime, and then the Spring Valley quarterback eventually runs it in on a two-point conversion and wins the game. And I think in what most would call probably an upset, I would say Huntington, you know, we know kind of replacing a lot of people from last year, but I just read right before we got on here, though, I didn't tell you guys, I saw that Locklear from Spring Valley only played like past the second series on the stud lineman. So that's a really good win.
Right.
About that, they didn't even have one of their...
With missing him, correct.
Yeah, they didn't even have one of their D1 recruits and still went and beat Huntington High. So definitely a good win. I thought maybe the two teams were close to even, maybe. So it's not shocking, but, you know, I guess just state runner-ups and all that stuff, you know. And yeah, a couple key players coming back, so... good win for Spring Valley. They got a big test this week, which we'll talk about later. You know, we'll see. We'll see really where they stand this week. We'll talk about that in a little bit. Next game down the list that I put was, you know, a game that I don't know if they played before last year or not. I know last year was a great game too. Wheeling Park and Bridgeport, AAA, AA matchup, and I know last year was a great game. This year, Wheeling Park comes out on top. You know, Wheeling Park out to a 2-0 start after, you know, losing Xavier Johnson, and then, you know, week one, what was his name? We looked it up earlier.
I forgot, but I know he hit 295, I think, is what it was.
He set a school record for rushing yards in a game, you know, after losing your stud running back that rushed for 1,400 yards last year right off the bat. So, Wheeling Park, that was a home two, gets a win over Bridgeport. And,
yeah, 14-10, you know,
yeah. Close one last year, I think it was 17-14.
It was a close as well.
Yeah, so it definitely another good ball game, and Wheeling Park gets a big one. You know, going in, you know, after losing Savion Johnson, I didn't know what they had coming in, and you know, always a tough schedule. You know, I thought maybe the Bridgeport game would be the tipping point on whether they could maybe get a home game in the first round, depending on the schedule. I know they always play Morgantown; they still got some tough games, but now beating Bridgeport, I think, you know, Wheeling Park can keep it up, definitely in the driver's seat for at least the first round home game, if not more.
Yeah, definitely gives them momentum going ahead. And Blackston, that was the kid's name.
Yeah.
Yeah, he's rushed for a school record, 296 yards. But Bridgeport was able to hold him to, it says 41 yards and two touchdowns. And he got in, you know, he got paid dirt a couple times, but his yardage was definitely cut back. And, you know, of course, you know, we weren't there to watch, so we don't know if, you know, if he ran the ball less and they threw the ball more. You know, we don't know all that stuff, but... you know, Bridgeport's D sounds like they stepped up a little more than the prior week for Wheeling Park, or against Wheeling Park.
Right, you know, I think about Wheeling Park going into the season. I know we've been talking about Johnson a lot, but, you know, I thought going into the season the biggest thing was they're going to be able to replace what they had at quarterback. Their quarterback, I believe, was very successful in what they did. And I still think the biggest thing was they're going to be able to replace Page. I mean, I remember whenever they were down there for Point Pleasant game, you know, defensively, Page was all over the field. I mean,
yeah.
here is a man in the middle that can go sideline to sideline and come up if you need him to come up and drop back in coverage if you need him to drop back. But, you know, it just looks like Wheeling Park was able to reload. I didn't know, like you guys, I didn't know whether or not they were going to be able to do that, but it seemed like every position that they lost, there was someone to come right in to really just fill that void. And, you know, Bridgeport talking about their defenses. As you look over the last, I mean, even whenever they were in AAA, you know, Bridgeport's always been able to play great on defense.
Right.
And, you know, and teams, people will talk about Bridgeport just knows that they got a great running game. They'll run it down your throat if they got to, and then they'll stiffen up on defense, and that's what keeps them in ball games. So, I believe people, whenever that Bridgeport came down from AAA, they knew that they were going to be towards the top of AA, and after winning the state championship last year against Wayne, it looks like Bridgeport's ready to try to do everything he can, head back to the island again.
Yeah, yeah, and kind of, you know, just to give a shout out to you know, to Bridgeport's running game, Dante Bonamico.
Mm-hmm.
Yep.
He led them with 99 yards and got their lone touchdown. So, you know, that was the stats for him. And you know, it's kind of, you know, like Jimmy said, it is a known fact that, you know, when you are known for playing good defense, more than likely you're going to be able to do that year in and year out.
So, definitely a good win for Wheeling Park to start the season. We'll see how things go for them, you know, going into that top eight, see if they can hang on to, you know, being up there. You know, like we said, tough schedule, but we'll see what they can do the rest of the season. Bridgeport, you know, like we we said, definitely favorite Double A. You know, we'll see them. I would say, not remembering their schedule right off the top of my head, but I would say that was probably their toughest game of the year, Wheeling Park, I would imagine. So, I know they don't play Wayne regular season or anything like that.
Right.
So, I would say probably Wheeling Park's toughest game of the year, or Bridgeport's toughest game of the year. The next game we're just going to talk about real quickly is Wayne and Systemville. You know, definitely going in, you know, Cardinal Conference matchup. Wayne beat them twice last year, and you know, once in the playoffs, once in the regular season. So, you know, big matchup coming back this year. And Systemville, you know, Wayne had a lot of yards in the game. I did, you know, I read over 500 yards. They put the yards up, but Systemville was able to hang around with some turnovers and some different things, and Systemville really had a chance to win the game. Wayne comes back and ends up winning 20-14 in a, you know, kind of 4 or 5 turnovers, you know, a little sloppy at times, but offensively Wayne was clicking. I know Corey Stiltner had a big game for them, had 150 rushing yards for him, and then like 100 receiving yards. I know he's usually their best receiver, so, you know, big game from him. And, you know, Wayne picks up a tough one on the road, you know. Play bad, fumble the ball, and still come away with a win over, I would safely say, probably a top 8 team in the way, if not better. We kind of thought in the preseason they could maybe be a top 5 team. So, you know, to come away with a win is always a good thing.
Yeah, you know, I think we had talked about in the preview that they were, you know, a program that was building. And Systemville was a program that was building, and, you know, they definitely, you know, they hung with a Wayne team that, you know, a lot of times, a lot of teams have a lot of trouble hanging with them. And, you know, they definitely played them, gave them a rough game. I was searching there for the stats. What did you say for Cody Stiltner?
I think I read 150 rushing yards and 100 receiving yards.
244 yards on 16 carries is what the Herald Dispatch reports. So that's a, you know, a pretty stud night for that young man.
Yeah, just looking right here with Wayne, it says they had 544 yards of total offense. And you think about it, usually whenever a team puts up numbers like that, you're not going to win by 6.
Yeah, right.
Which shows that it's an uncharacteristic Wayne team to be turning the ball over the way they are. I mean, usually Wayne's very disciplined. So I think you're just looking at the time right now. It's early in the season. You know, adjustments are going to be made. I don't see Wayne, you know what, being a team that's, you know, that's going to continue to turn the ball over. I believe that whatever the problem is there, I believe Coach Harmon's going to get that fixed.
Right.
But, you know, I'm not going to say that it was turnovers because, you know, Systemville. I mean, you got to give them props for coming in and playing. I mean, they didn't lay down. Usually, I mean, Double-A teams, you usually hear the name Wayne and you think, well, it's not even going to be close. But Systemville came in being a Cardinal Conference opponent and saw an opportunity and almost came away with it.
Definitely a close one, Systemville. You know, definitely a program on the rise. As any smolder continues to build that program, and, you know, next couple of years, you know, I think that's definitely a big Cardinal Conference matchup for years to come. So close one for Wayne. They pull it out. Other than that, from last week, those were kind of the games we decided to highlight. I know single-A wise, you know, briefly, you know, I didn't do much research on it, but I did see that Williamstown beat Magnolia. That was a battle of top 10 teams at the time. So, of course, you know, top 10 according to opinion. So, Williamstown gets a big win over Magnolia. The previous, you know, team everybody kind of thought was number one, Wheeling Central. I know they lost to Steubenville Catholic over the weekend, so not losing to a West Virginia team, but you know they do get the loss.
Right.
So some teams, you know, without a loss in single A, you know, kind of get bumped up here. St. Mary's, Greenbrier West, Williamstown. I know Bishop Donahue. You know, there's a game. They got a big game this week. I know of, and you know they're slowly moving up. Man Hillbillies, you know, having a good start to the season.
They are, yeah.
Knocked off Logan that first week.
Yep.
You know, big Triple A win, big points, and then they beat Mountain View last week, which is double-A points.
Mm-hmm.
So, man, picking up a lot of bonus points right now. You know, if they can end up being even 8-2, you know, could
right.
really be up in that upper
right.
part with all the points that they're going to be getting. So,
you know, like we said, you know, at the beginning of the year, we, you know, in our preview, we kind of talked about it, you know, being kind of wide open. So, you know, it looks like it's for anybody's taking.
Yeah, and I know Moorfield picked up their first win last week.
Held our neighbors to the north They I know they struggled a little bit, but they pulled it out.
Yeah,
didn't they?
Yeah, Wauwatosa pulled it out. They beat Waterford. They jumped out real quick. I remember seeing the score, and it was 20-0. It seemed like in the second quarter or so, and then next thing I knew, it was 21-20, or maybe not 20. Maybe they were 21-0, but they were all of a sudden only up 1 point, and then Wauwatosa kind of pulled away at the end.
Right.
So, like we talked about, I think Wauwatosa, you know, got some new players.
Yeah, they're rebuilding for sure. Yeah.
Undergoing some, you know, pains with those new players, but I think they're, you know, they're going to be there around the end of the year.
Right.
So, you know, they'll be in that TBC race with Trimble.
Right. Yeah, you know, that's kind of what surprised me when I did kind of see the score was that it was – I kind of thought Trimble was the only team that would really give them, you know, a little bit of trouble. But, you know, evidently I was wrong. Waterford hung with them a little bit.
So, other than that, I know Clay Patel got another win. You know, they've got a big game, too, you know, with another team we already talked about. So, you know, single-way definitely, you know, wide open as a whole. Double-way-wise, I know Bluefield got a win, you know. 40 points on Princeton. You know, I mean, Princeton had got a, you know, I think some people from, you know, seeing online, I think thought Princeton could be pretty good this year. And then, you know, Bluefield puts 40 on them. I was listening to the Metro News, not podcast, but the radio show on the way home, and they were saying that the Bluefield fullback is like 6'4", 6'5", 250 pounds.
Wow.
And he had like 100 something yards in the game. And,
wow. That's a load to tackle.
Yeah.
Yeah.
RCB picked up another win. Other than that, you know, Mingo Central picked up another win. You know, lost some players from last year that we talked about, I know of, but, you know, they're slowly, you know, I think, moving up.
Right.
Ravenswood, I know, absolutely destroyed Webster in the first half, and then I think they were up 45-0 at halftime, ended up winning 65-40. So the score was definitely a little misleading.
Well, you know that happens in the second half.
Listening to Metro News on the way home from somebody from Webster County called in, and that was, you know, I know they said something about the score, no defense, and the guy from Webster County was quick to be like, oh, well, Ravenswood pretty much, you know, ran the show in the first half.
In the first half,
and
right.
The second half was, you know, crazy, you know, different guys in and everything else.
Yeah, you know, Ravenswood's looking like they're living up to the hype, you know. I know the community was excited before the year, you know, it's their 100th year, and they've got, you know, a pretty good core of kids coming back, and so it looks like they're living up to it and playing tough so far.
As for AAA, you know, some brief winners other than that. We had University knocked off Park South. I know listening to Metro News that night, I know they said University had lost a couple kids. I can't remember if it was injury or what went on, but a couple kids in their starting backfield was out for that game. And then they end up, you know, beating South 20-13. Midland. Another big win, knocked off Winfield. Point Pleasant, our boys, knocked off Ripley 52-0.
Brought the bucket home.
Battle for the bucket, get the win. Morgantown knocked off Brooke 35-19. Other than that, I know South Charleston and Capital both played. You know, some lesser teams in the MSAC both got big wins. And, of course, the King, Martinsburg, with another win.
Yeah, blanked them.
So that's just kind of a brief overview of, you know, everything that happened last week. I think we like we've talked about before, we kind of got some ideas of some other things we want to do to kind of highlight some players, and just didn't have time to get ready this week. So next week we're going to try to really dig into some stats of some teams and try to get some things out. And I think we're even going to do like a – I think I'm going to do a nomination page is what I'm going to do on one of the message boards or something.
Yeah,
and try to get
like
some
plan.
Names that way. That way, you know, we'll have some and then we can hunt.
We don't miss somebody, right?
Yeah, we just kind of be a combination. We can hunt a little and then find the others. So,
did you mention Spring Mills game?
No, we did not.
Yeah, Spring Mills pulled out a big one, I think, you know, and congratulations to them for the first win of the year, 24-20 over Washington.
First win ever.
Yeah, can't beat that. You know, welcome to the win column.
Got a good win, too. Washington made the playoffs last year. So,
right.
You know, you would think couldn't drop off too much. The school with, you know, second year in existence.
Right.
Know, comes to beat you, so. Definitely, congrats to Spring Mills. Gonna be a good feeling to get that first win.
Yeah, definitely.
I know they gave up a lot of points last year. Really had a tough year.
Yeah, we gotta remember too that Spring Mills coming in, they didn't have any seniors last year either, and you know, and growing pains of a new school and all those things. You know, it was going to happen. But you know, I always look for any team that can go 0-10, and then the same boys and even new faces come out the next year and go hard at it to get your first win. I know that it's got to feel good for them. And You know, I always say this. I said, you know, it's easy to keep morale up whenever you're going 10-0, but you go on the other side of it when you're 0-9, 0-10, and you still have those same boys coming in every single practice, still working hard. You know, and whenever they get that win, it's special, especially for the community, especially for the teams and coaches, and I'm sure they were excited about it.
Yeah, you know, I don't think we can congratulate them enough, man, because last year had to have been hard, you know, to continue to show up and work hard week in, week out, and they've continued to do that, and definitely want to encourage those boys to continue to do that. And, you know, when you work hard, you begin to see things happen, and things turn out in your favorable way. So
that's just kind of, you know, putting a wrap on week 2 in West Virginia high school football. We'll kind of try to expand a little bit next week as we go. Try is the key word. So as for this week, we're just going to kind of do the same thing we did last week. Talk about, I think I picked 7 games here to just kind of pick and talk about a little bit. I think one of the highlighted games this week is definitely, especially after last week's win, is Spring Valley and South Charleston. You know, Spring Valley knocks off the state runner-up, and here's your chance against, you know, one of the top, definitely top 5, you know,
right,
if not, you know, top 2 or 3 teams in the state with,
right,
you know, a potential Division I quarterback there who can throw it all over the place. And I know AD Cunningham last week, mm-hmm, watching on WCHS, he had 200-something yards, I think, and he was just untouched. Like, just watching him on plays, and I know him from watching him at basketball. He is tough as could be, mm-hmm, so... You know, South Charleston just loaded it all over the place. And, you know, be interesting for Spring Valley to see if, you know, I know Huntington kind of, you know, plays more of a, you know, power football and, you know, going to run it down your throat, whereas South Charleston kind of spread it out and throw it and, you know, kind of different style of offense. So it'd be interesting to see if South Charleston can, or if Spring Valley can
slow
hang
down
with one of the top dogs.
Yeah, you know, I think they definitely raised the bar for themselves instantly. You know, they kind of put some pressure on themselves by winning that game last week. And, you know, South Charleston does have 2 premier athletes in 2 key positions. And, you know, can they slow them down? That's the question, I think, really. You know, Spring Valley's got, you know, nice line. And they put up some points on a good defense, you know, or what is traditionally a pretty good defense in Coach Seale's team. So, you know, we'll kind of see this week if they can continue that trend and move the ball against South Charleston. But then again, you know, not only can they move the ball, but can they slow them down?
Right. And another question is Spring Valley and Huntington, with that being such a big game and a double overtime game and a rivalry, you know, what is that taking out of them?
Right.
I mean, you just never know what you're going to get from week to week. You know, South Charleston, they played St. Albans last week, and you know, and that game really, by the score of it, don't look like it was really that close. But the question is, can St. Albans, you know, or not St. Albans, but can Spring Valley come in and go at it just like, you know, just like they did last week? Or
right,
or where are they at emotionally? Where are they at physically? You know, where are they at mentally? Because that's a big part of it, too. And we know that South Charleston will be ready. Just the question is, will Spring Valley be able to come in with that same mentality as they had the week before?
And opening up Spring Valley schedule, you know, beating Huntington, you know, a team that, you know, maybe a toss-up, maybe Huntington may be a little bit more of a favorite coming into the season. You know, looking at the rest of the schedule, you know, what we presume to be tough games. You still got South Charleston. You still got Cabell Midland on down the road. You still got Hurricane on down the road. So three tough games there, you know, against what we, you know, assume are the tougher games. So if you could maybe get a win against South Charleston, you know, you might be in the driver's seat.
Right.
For a top 2 or 3 seed all of a sudden. If you could knock off those 2 teams at the
right
end of the season, maybe you go from maybe thinking you're a 6-4, 7-3 team
right
to ride the momentum from that point on.
Yeah,
and
I mean,
end up being a top 4 or top 2 team.
When you take out number 4 one week and number 3, you know, if they can pull it out and take off number 3 this week, I mean, you've got to have high hopes, and you're definitely in the driver's seat.
I think with those 2 big boys, I would imagine Spring Valley's plan will be keep them all away from
right
them.
Right. Yep.
And you know, in Spring Valley, you know, they're usually a team that's usually in that, you know, 6-4, 7-3, you know, 5-5 range. Being in MSAC, you know, I'm sure that's, you know, we know what that's in like going every week, you know, for those teams. But, you know, the trouble with Spring Valley in the past has been, you know, what getting out of that first round. And, you know, and they've done that here recently. So I know those kids, they've tasted it. They know what it's like to be in the playoffs and get that playoff win. And, I believe that they coming in this year, you know, I know people from Spring Valley talking is, you know, not just a line, but they were happy with what they had in the backfield too. So I think they've got that inspirations of, you know, of being home field in the playoffs this year and trying to be at the top of the MSAC.
Yeah, I know last year in the playoffs they had to go to Martinsburg.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's not a real great draw there.
No.
Especially because Martinsburg's won, I think, 46 home games.
It's in there. Yeah.
I mean, it's something ridiculous.
I think it was 46.
Knowing all what we just said, pick-wise, Scott went first the last time, so I voted Jimmy this time.
What's our records?
Oh yeah, let's.
I don't have my book.
Yeah, I don't have my book.
Real quick. I've got them on here. It's spreadsheet.
Let's see who has a lead in this thing before we go moving on.
Sheet. All right. Probably go to Excel.
Did you even lose the game, Scott? Did you pick the polka dots over Nitro? Somebody picked the polka dots over Nitro.
Yeah, I think
Nitro.
I might have actually. Oh, they
didn't
play Nitro.
You picked polka over Nitro.
I think I did. Yeah.
I picked Mingo Central to lose. Of course, they won.
I don't have to go back.
And then Andy lost on the Ritchie County. I think we all had one loss.
I've got Triple A and Double A returning on here, but I don't have. I had an Excel spreadsheet.
I have it written down at home. Sorry, I remember you put in. Maybe you didn't say that.
I thought we all had one loss on all different games, but I could be wrong too. But.
We'll listen to it.
Because I just remember someone took the dots.
Well, we can't remember our records. So it looks like we're all tied. So, knowing that, Jimmy, what do you got? Spring Valley, South Charleston.
Where's this game at?
It is.
Is it South Charleston?
It is at South Charleston.
All right. I just think that coming off a big win like they had last week against Huntington and it being such an emotional win in double overtime, I think that Spring Valley's got a very good football team. I just think South Charleston's going to beat Spring Valley this week.
I will go with South Charleston as well. I think South Charleston will be able to spread them out a little bit. And after watching Greer some highlights on WCHS, I mean, it looks like he's throwing the ball really well. I saw Derek Taylor tweeted some stats of him today. I mean, I think he's thrown for 450 yards and like rushed for 202. And I think we'll go with him. I think they'll be able to spread out Spring Valley a little bit, and you know, I think get a win at home.
You know, Spring Valley had a great week last week, and played good football, and I think they're going to continue to play good football. But I'm going to have to go with South Charleston on this one. Just like you said, they've got too much balance and firepower. When you got a kid throwing for 400 yards already, and then a kid running for, I don't know what Cunningham's stats are, but he's probably three, if not more than 300 yards in the first 2 weeks. They're going to be tough to stop for anybody. But good luck to Spring Valley. I'm definitely going to be tuned into it. I'm going to try to keep checking that score, but yeah, definitely going to have to pick South Charleston this week.
Our next game, definitely one that, of course, hits close to home. We've got Point Pleasant and Wayne. Wayne coming to town. First matchup since the AA title game back in 2011 that Wayne picked up the win. So, big matchup of, teams that were, I think it's safe to say conference rivals before, Point Pleasant having to exit the Cardinals. So, ex-conference rivals meeting up for the first time. I know we scrimmaged them last year, but, for the first time in a game, in a few years now, these kids are seniors now, or were freshmen on that team. Right. So, definitely a few years removed, not too far. So, big game. Wayne's got several big games, and then they still play Morgantown, coming off a big game against Sissonville. Point, really hasn't been challenged yet. Lincoln County and Ripley, neither team able to score point on Point Pleasant defense. So,
The history of this game, I was trying to get back to the Tailgate Central there that what you had posted, Andy, and it just continues to be a great series. Actually, there was a new comment on it. But just to read off, 2007. Wayne, kind of ran away with it, 22-3.
That was a 3-0 ball game. That
right.
Literally, I bet there was only 10 seconds left in that half, and our quarterback, B.J. Lloyd, threw a pick six. Mm-hmm. And then, that kind of changed, and then he ended up breaking his arm in the second half, and it was – change the complexion of the game, but defensively, even though that was our first year under Coach Darce, so and we really didn't have a great year as a whole.
Right.
You know, we played them really well the first year. I think that kind of set the tone from that point on.
Right. Yeah, in 2008, you know, we picked up the win 22-21. Last second field goal by Mr. Weaver, one of your co-hosts there, he's a special host there on your other podcast at times.
I believe that was the game that was, that he hit that. That was the one that ended the streak that they had. So that was a great night for us.
Yeah, definitely a good night for us. 2009, Wayne won 22-10. 2010, Point Pleasant wins 13-8. Let's see here. The commenter posted said, two of the most memorable runs I can ever remember in the game took place in this. One of them was by Mr. Blankenship from Point Pleasant. And then 2011, of course, they played two of them. And the first one was an insane, controversial, great, you know, just a fun game to be at. 16-14, Point Pleasant picked up the win. And then there's that game up on the island that we probably won't mention. But congrats to them.
It was just, I think it was the best football game I've ever been to. Just
the
momentum shifts.
Yeah.
And
back and forth.
The players in that game. Yeah. I mean, you know, Spurlock had the big game there, had the big game in the title game. But, you know, we had a running back in that game named Tyler Campbell that also had 200 plus yards and then tore his ACL.
So that was the game he got hurt in.
Yeah, at the end of that game, tore his ACL. And it was, you know, it was after that. It hurt our team.
It changed our whole offense philosophy. Yeah, I mean, everything we could do.
2 weeks later, lost Anthony. Right. You know, we lost our two starting running backs in, you know, a matter of 2 weeks, and it changed our team. We weren't the same team we played in the
title. Right, definitely.
We were more of a passing team. We passed the set of the run, whereas I think early in the year, even at that point, we were more of a running team.
And even Wayne, even after that game, I mean, we know that game came down to a goal line. I'm gonna say it was a multiple goal line thing. I think towards the end, I don't think anybody really knew what was going on.
Wasn't part of that controversy an extra down?
It was just a mistake there. Nobody really knew.
It was so fast.
I remember that last play. You know, I remember Wayne celebrating because they thought they had gotten in, and then Point was celebrating because they had held them back, and nobody really knew what was going on until the game was over.
There was 0 seconds on the clock, and then 16-14.
Kind of walked off, and everybody just kind of looked around like, what happened?
I believe Wayne ended up losing two games in the regular season that year. They lost to Chesapeake also, and I know that it was not the same defense, not even the same offensive line that we played on the island, because Coach Harmon made some adjustments and moved some kids around that was absolutely great moves for them.
Yeah, that's what he's known for.
Yeah. I mean, you know, and the whole philosophy there. I mean, I know that Wayne's got a philosophy. I mean, they instill in their in their youth programs of, you know what, wherever you can play that's best for the team, that's what we want you doing. And they know that. I mean, you got kids that probably play fullback and stuff, and their philosophies is playing guards. And boy, whenever you get them guards out in front of what they got, you're pretty much unstoppable a lot of times. And I think, you know, Coach Harmon's just what he's done with that program has just been amazing.
So definitely should be a good one.
We're excited.
We've got a consensus pick.
Yes.
That's going to shock the world. But we're going to go with a team that wears red and black.
Yep.
To win this one.
Yep. They might even have black helmets. just saying.
So we're going to I guess disappoint you guys a little bit and.
With a red letter.
No pick on this one. I mean, people
can look at this and say, well, Wayne, they haven't played their best ball yet. You know what, this is the first home game for Point Pleasant this year.
Yep.
So I'm sure that, I mean, I expect a full crowd on both sides.
Yeah, it's going to be fun.
A nice environment. But I don't expect the same Wayne team that I've read about over the last 2 weeks. I believe that they're going to come in and it's going to be very disciplined. And, I mean, it's going to be – I see big plays happening. And who can make the most big plays and who can limit the turnovers. And that's what's going to –
that's essentially what this game always comes down to is the big plays and the turnovers.
Or a kicker.
Yeah, all right.
So, can't wait. It'll be a great Friday night here.
Yeah, definitely. Good luck to all the kids, man. Go out there and leave it all on the field, both
safe
sides.
Safe travels.
All right, safe travels, yep.
So, next game I picked for Triple A just because I thought – they've been a good story so far. Huntington and Woodrow Wilson. I just wanted to kind of throw them in and talk about them a little bit. I think Woodrow, you know, off to a good start. You know, beat two teams that, you know, probably aren't great teams, but beat them soundly. You know, that's what's most important to me is they did beat them, go out and beat them soundly, put up a lot of points, and now, you know, you have to go play the Highlanders, who are known for great defense. So,
well, they're aggravated, too.
Yeah. Right.
You know, I mean, and it's kind of, you know, the way we talked about emotions for Spring Valley, it's going to be the same thing for Huntington, but when you're on the losing end of that, it's a little different. You got a bad taste in your mouth, and you probably come out a mad football team, and you know, ready to run, and we'll find out what happens.
Yeah. So don't really know too much about Woodrow Wilson player personnel wise. So we'll, I guess, just kind of pick this one. You know, Woodrow off to a good start, but you know, can they upset the Highlanders? Jimmy, what do you think?
I think that, you know, Coach Seals probably wasn't a happy man. I mean, I can see the way that his team fought back. You know, he's got to be happy with that. But anytime you lose, as a coach, you know that it's that means you got some work to do. So I'm sure it wasn't a great film study for his boys there at Huntington. But I'm sure that they're going to work getting things fixed and get things under wraps. So I think Huntington's going to come back and beat Beckley.
Yeah, I'm gonna stay with Jimmy here, and I think Huntington will have a little, you know, sour taste in their mouth. And you know, Woodrow, I think Woodrow's definitely a team that, you know, I haven't quite looked at the schedule yet. Let me look real quick. But, you know, I think maybe can, you know, if they beat the teams they should beat, they got to play Huntington, they got to play Midland, probably a toss up game with Parkersburg, you know, depending on what happens. And then,
where's that game at?
At Parkersburg. Mm-hmm. And then you got to play Capitol, and then Princeton, Oak Hill, and Hedgesville to end the season. So, you know, possibly a playoff team with Woodrow Wilson. You know, it could be a 6-4, 7-3 team.
Right.
So, game like this with Huntington, definitely a big game. But I'm going to go with Huntington. I'm going to stay with Jimmy here. I'm going to ride with Huntington. Scott, what do you think?
I'm a competitor, and I like to win, so I'm going to make sure that my chances to lose are none. I'm going with Huntington as well. And, you know, like I said, I think they're going to be really ready to play. And I've got a feeling they're going to respond quite nicely after that first loss.
So, now venturing to Double A, we've got Robert C. Byrd off to a good start. Against another team off to a good start, Frankfort. I think this is definitely the best game in Double A, true Double A matchup. I think definitely the fair top 10 team. Don't know if they've ever played each other before. So definitely a good matchup. You know, Frankfort with Division I quarterback Gabe Schaefer on the team, RCB. You know, a lot of good players returning from last year's team. So, you know, Jimmy, what do you think?
You think you have both teams undefeated coming in here? Frankfort probably got a little bit more to prove than what RCB does. But you know, RCB they were tough last year. You know, I know that they played even in the playoffs well. I think with the players they got back, I think they're still healthy. I think Robert C. Burr's want to beat Frankfort this week.
For me, really a toss up. You know, anxious to see. You know, Frankfort, you know, lost in the first round early last year. Did they lose to RCB in the playoffs last year? I think they did.
I do not know that one.
I think that was the first round game last year. I think that was the 4-13 matchup. I'm pretty sure it was. And it was last year in the playoffs. I thought it was. As I said that, I remembered. So, yeah, the second meeting over, you know, for these two teams. Robert C. Byrd upset in the playoffs, so they must have thought it was a good idea to schedule each other after playing each other in the playoffs. So, Robert C. Byrd got the win last year in the playoffs. I think, based off of knowing that now, or remembering that fact, I'm going to stick with RCB here. I think they got a lot returning, and I think they'll be able to knock off Frankfort.
You know, I'm going to go the same way. Once again, I'm playing the average there, trying to win the pick 'em. But yeah, I think Robert C. Byrd is going to pull it off. Kind of looking at the schedule so far this year, you know, Robert C. Byrd had a good matchup that first week with Fairmont Senior, and came out on top of it by a pretty nice score with the team that was ranked at the time. So I'm going to go with Robert C. Byrd.
Okay, next game we've got. I think this one's maybe a toss-up. Sissonville and Mingo Central, another Cardinal Conference big game for the Indians after letdown versus Wayne, having to play Mingo Central.
Can't call it a letdown.
Yeah, who's a home?
They only lose. He's
who's
a home touchdown?
Who's a home team?
Mingo Central. Mingo Central was at Sissonville.
I think this game really is a toss up. I mean, Sissonville, yeah, they lost last week, but you couldn't have asked for any more other than a win with West Sissonville game. I mean, I know they had the opportunities, and maybe a lot of people say West Sissonville should have had to win. It just didn't work out in their favor. I know Mingo Central, what, they're 2-0.
Yeah.
I know they've been playing good football, too. I guess you got to pick one. I think that after what Sissonville did last week and what they did with Wayne, I know that they're upset about it, but for some odd reason, I just think that Mingo Central is going to be able to pull off a win here against Sissonville.
For me, Jimmy said, I guess this is a true toss-up for me. Sissonville, lost a close one to Wayne. Mingo Central got off to a great start. Big Cardinal Conference game, especially if Mingo plays Wayne. If Mingo could knock off Wayne, could maybe create a three-way tie potentially. So, with that being said, I am going to go with Sissonville for my pick.
I'm looking here at scores so far this week and common opponents and all that good stuff. But it kind of looks like Mingo Central might have a good defense. Tulsa scored 8 on them this week, and the week prior they scored 18 on Wayne. It's hard to pick. Sissonville, like I said, is been growing and a program that's on the move and coming off a tough loss. Once again, we kind of talked about, what does that do to you? With Sissonville being at home, it makes me want to kind of pick Sissonville, but I think I'm going to go with Mingo Central and the uniforms. If you look good, you play good. But no, yeah, I think Mingo Central is going to, pull this out, I think. It's going to be another, shocker for Sissonville, and it's, especially being on their home field. But I'm definitely going with Mingo Central this week.
Next game on the list, we got a couple single-way games, actually. We'll just kind of, talk a little bit about them. We got Greenbrier West and Magnolia. Magnolia, another tough matchup. After losing to Williamstown last week, tough top 10 matchup. Now facing off of Greenbrier West. Jimmy,
Like I said before, with me single A, I can't tell you much about the teams there with single A. I can't tell you much about the athletes except for maybe as far as teams who's towards the top each year. I'm gonna go with Greenbrier West. I know what they've done here over the last couple of years and the program they've had. I know they haven't got that state championship that they've wanted, but they've been right up there where they needed to be over the last couple of years. And I know they've lost a lot from last year. But I still think that somehow, some way, Greenbrier West pulls it out.
For me, it's a tough one here. Magnolia loses a close one to Williamstown last week. Love Magnolia. Love the food in New Martin. So based on food selection alone, I'm going to go with Magnolia.
Blue Eagles.
They do have one of the best restaurants. So I'm going to go Blue Eagles.
I'm just kind of jumping back and through the scores for these last two picks, but it kind of seems like Greenbrier can put some points on the board. Scored 43 this last week against Richwood, and I think they put 20 up in week one. They can score a little bit, and as far as my knowledge, it's just not there. So I think I'm going to go with Greenbrier West. I'm going with Jimmy's side this time.
Last pick, I decided to put on. I know it's two teams that we, minus outside of our message from Clay Battelle earlier, really don't know too much about either team. So Clay Battelle and Bishop Donahue, another top 10 matchup in a single way. A lot of really big top 10 matchups early on this season.
Yeah, there has been.
So
it's exciting.
Jimmy? Tell us about Bishop.
Yeah, I couldn't tell you not a single thing about Bishop.
Where is Bishop?
I have no clue.
They scored 56 points this week.
All right. Well, that's all right.
I guess
I'll tell you just because we got a shout out from uh, from Clay Battelle.
There we go.
And because someone decided that, you know, they're going to give us a little bit in more.
We actually have somebody in that part of the state listening.
Just because someone said, hey, we're listening to you. I believe, what, Clay Battelle, is that the CBs?
Yep.
The CBs of Clay Battelle. I'm going to go ahead and take the CBs to win over Bishop Donahue.
I am going to go with, I'm going to play the opposite card again, and I'm going to go with Bishop Donahue. I'm going to be that guy every week.
You tell me where Bishop Donahue is. So, you know,
it's north of Point Pleasant. Okay, that's all I know.
You knowledgeable guru.
Once again, looking from scores, Clay Battelle scored 111 points this year. 111 points in two games. And, you know, once again, of course, we don't know much about their opponents, but man, that's a lot of points in two games. Mm-hmm. 54 and 56. So I'm going with Clay Battelle.
All right. So that kind of makes it for our picks this week.
Don't worry. We'll forget them after this week anyway.
I'm saving the document.
I got them written down at home. I knew you would do that. Yeah. So yeah. I don't have these ones, so save this document.
Okay, got them saved. Yeah. Got the document saved. I'll recover the old ones from the old podcast.
It's one of them deals you only remember if you win.
That's right.
So we'll dig those up, see who's winning after this week. Once again, you can find us on, I always forget to mention iTunes. The big thing with iTunes, too, is if you get on there, which I haven't looked in, to see if we have any reviews.
Give us a review, man.
Yeah, we need reviews. Reviews are the most important thing in podcast world because iTunes really doesn't rank on things in terms of like downloads or anything like that.
Right.
They rank on
how good you are.
Strictly on reviews and things like that. So it is very important to review us. Of course, we're not trying to just take over the sports world.
Oh, I am.
With a West Virginia sports podcast. Yeah.
Oh, but I am. I've got people from California that listen. Hey, we're trying to take it over, man.
Be sure to give the reviews. They are very, very important. As I'm doing this, I'm typing in 3 minutes.
Well, that's what I'm trying to find it too, but iTunes is taking forever. Somebody's internet's laggy.
Oh, my computer.
There we go.
Ratings and reviews. No ratings.
None. Folks. I guess maybe we should do it ourselves.
Yeah,
so
that'd help out. So I'll probably do that tonight. Be sure to give the reviews, though, like we said. Other than that, if you have any questions, comments, concerns, if you're unhappy with our picks, which I'm sure,
sure somebody will be.
So if you're unhappy with our picks, be sure to email us and tell us why we're wrong. And if we are wrong, you can call us out on it. So
yeah, definitely.
Yep, just we can take criticism. Add a little fun every week until we kind of get everything else going. So I think it'll be it for this week, right at about 50 minutes before editing, so that's about perfect. So that'll close it up for this week. And like I said, anything, email, Twitter, Facebook, whatever you want to do. So we'll close it up for this week. This is Andy signing off.
And it's Jimmy signing off. Be blessed.
Toodaloo.